she thought, sickened. Maybe she had head injuries, and that was why she had been in an ambulance. She couldn't remember the moments leading up to the accident, and that meant she must have been unconscious when it happened. She swallowed convulsively, wondering how badly she was hurt. She did not feel any really serious pain, only weakness and bruising. "Serious injuries are often completely painless," the clipped internal voice offered. She blinked, startled. The van creaked again and the hissing intensified. She dragged herself away, driven by an instinct of danger that bypassed the fog and the queer voices in her mind. Her thoughts moved sluggishly, as if her head were full of wadded cotton. "Maybe I'm drugged," she thought. A loud groan stopped her, and a realization struggling through the mental soup broke through to the surface. If she had been the passenger, there must have been someone driving. Someone was still inside the ambulance. Grimly, she worked her knees up under her body. She paused, gathered her strength, and pushed herself back onto her knees. She was nightmarishly weak. She did not know how she could help the driver. She stared at the overturned wreck, struck by its unusual shape. It had seemed odd from the inside, but she had attributed that to the vehicle being upside down. But even crumpled and overturned, it looked like no ambulance she had ever seen. Where were the wheels? Someone groaned again. "Help me." She could not tell if the driver were male or female. She reached out and took hold of a low-hanging branch of one of the huge, twisted trees growing all around, using it to pull herself to her feet. The tree grew aslant from the hillside, and she guessed the road the ambulance had left was higher up the hill. She swayed groggily. Her lips moved, but her voice came out as a breathless croak. She calculated 5 steps to the edge of the ambulance. It seemed 1,000. She took 1 drunken step forward. The hissing noise rose to a sudden crescendo, ending in a loud, dull thump. The force of the explosion lifted her off her feet and threw her back against the tree. A gout of flame flowed up and spilled out, forming an umbrella over the ambulance, then falling to engulf it. The driver started to scream, "Maya! Maya, help me, that's fire!" The words disintegrated into shrieks, then into a horrible animal gurgle of agony. Then there was no noise, but the crackle of fire leaping into the trees and brush around the van. Death is a thing all humans fear, because it is a mystery each must face alone. Whispered a new voice, a boy's voice. Dazed with horror, she stared at the burning wreckage. A smell wafted on the breeze. Her stomach rumbled hungrily at the scent of roasting meat, to be replaced abruptly by a curling revulsion at the knowledge that the smell came from the burning driver. Her stomach lurched and she leaned forward, vomiting with savage force on the ground at her feet. Little was ejected save thin bile, but she continued to heave and retch until she was nearly suffocating. The smell of burning flesh filled the air, and disgust gave her the strength to stagger away from the sight and smell of the ravaged vehicle. Tears streamed down her face at the memory of the voice begging for help. She shuddered, knowing she might easily have shared the driver's gruesome fate. She wondered how long before help would come. Pressing her hands to her head, she tried to remember why she had been in the ambulance. What was the last thing she remembered? A blur of images filled her mind, tilting and swirling like pieces of glass in a kaleidoscope. "Your name is Merlin," said the boy's voice in her mind, whispery and edged with inexplicable sadness. The name felt like it belonged to a stranger. Aloud, it sounded like something she was saying for the first time. She pressed her finger.